This is Rabbi Yaakov Appelgrad. When did you first come to Lakewood?
I came to Lakewood in like Rosh Chodesh year, and then I came after Pesach.
What year?
It would have been 1961.
Where were you before that?
I was in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh. And what was your experience before that, before you came with Rabbi Aaron?
Experience as far as what?
Seeing him or hearing about him, things like that.
I don't know. I mean, everybody then heard about him. I mean, he wasn't...
you saw him before that?
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
He used to come there?
He used to come where?
To Lakewood, Philadelphia.
At the time I was there, he came once to say a shir. They dedicated a building, so he came there and he spoke and he said a shir.
Uh-huh.
So that was the only time I saw him there. I mean, other times I'd seen him, I'd visited Lakewood.
Oh, yeah?
I'd go for Shabbos sometimes. I once went for Simchas Torah.
And what was that experience? What were those experiences like? whatever you could recall.
Can you hold on one second,
yeah,
please?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We're talking about you used to visit.
You didn't visit too often.
Whatever, even once is enough.
When else did I visit? I remember going for Shabbos once when I was learning in Philadelphia. I went with a friend for Shabbos.
Yeah. What was the...
I don't remember a particular experience. I mean, he used to eat with the Bachram on Shabbos.
Yeah.
You know, the Rebbetzin was actually, he actually had an apartment in New York. And the Rebbetzin, he was in New York. He used to spend a few days a week in New York.
Yeah.
You know, doing different kinds of klal work. He used to usually, I think, leave on Monday morning, and like he used to say two shiurim a week.
Uh-huh.
One on Monday morning, and one, like, in the wintertime, Shabbos night, or summertime, Shabbos afternoon. Mm-hmm. So in any case, he'd leave Monday morning right after the shiur. He'd go to New York.
Yeah.
He would come back Thursday night. But the Rebbetzin stayed in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So he would eat with the Bachram on Shabbos. As much as I can tell you, I mean, I never was zeichet to sit at his table, so to speak.
But you heard the shiurim.
I heard, yeah, when I learned it, I heard the shiurim, yeah.
And what was that like?
I mean, the shiurim were like whole buildings, you know, like whole architectural works on the sugi, you know. And they used to put up a sign with Mar Mekaymus. I think they do that now also.
Yeah.
You know, so Barkin could look things up and be familiar.
Sure.
And he would say this year, and for about an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some, all the Chashuv Bachram and Galayit who would repeat the year right away, for those who wanted to hear Chazara.
Who were they?
One of them was Reb Chaim Epstein.
Yeah.
The Moshe Hirsch.
Yeah.
Who was now Rosh Hashir of Slobodka in Eretz Yisrael. And there was someone, Reb Meir Hartstein.
Right.
I think those are the only ones I remember.
Now, during that, could you describe some of the impressions that he made on you? Some of the impressions or incidents that would reflect these impressions?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the impression was that he's so big and I'm so small.
Nothing more than that. Do you have any incidents or things like that that would bring it out that you were observed?
Well, actually, I, besides learning yeshiva, there was also up to a certain point.
Yeah.
There was no. One second.
Yeah.
He used to travel to New York.
Yeah.
So a bachur would go and would accompany him every day.
Yeah.
You know, like would drive him into New York and like come back that night, and the bachur would come back that night, and a different bachur would go on the next day.
Uh-huh.
At one point, I think about a half year or so before he was nifter, the yeshiva got a full-time driver for him.
Uh-huh.
So I drove him, I think, one time.
Okay, what was that like?
Huh?
Anything you remember from
anything
that?
Anything I remember? I can remember, like, it was a very busy day. Like, we drove into, in fact, it was like, you know, on a Monday that I drove him in, you know, it was like after the shiur.
Yeah.
And first thing he had, he went to a levaya.
Mm-hmm. Who levaya was, do you remember?
Yes, it was a colleague of his from Kletsk, who was a magid shiur in Yeshiva University.
Uh-huh. What was his name?
His name was Rabbi Lazar Margolis or Markolis or Markulis, something like that.
I don't remember that.
I think it was Markulis or Margulis, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, so they had a levaya for him in a shul in Williamsburg.
Uh-huh.
Rabbi Aaron was masbid, I remember, of Kalmanovich was masbid.
Uh-huh.
And then the levaya left to go uptown to YU, but
uh-huh.
he didn't go.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
From there, I think I took him to Manhattan.
Yeah.
He went to the yeshiva office. The yeshiva's office was in Manhattan then,
uh-huh.
on Broadway.
Yeah.
And spent some time there. And then I remember taking him to, he had to go see a lawyer.
Okay.
There was a Frum lawyer by the name of Ellis Levy.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know who he was.
Huh?
I never heard of him.
Okay, I'm telling you.
Okay, I understand.
I'm,
right.
like,
no,
I'm,
no, no,
my, I'm winding my tape, so to speak, in
okay,
my head, you know.
Good, very good.
Huh?
Very good.
And then we went back, after that, we went back to the Borough Park, to his apartment,
mm-hmm.
and there was a chasson that night.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow from the yeshiva, named Shimon Hirsch, got married. He now lives in Muncie.
Yeah, okay, I know him.
So that night he got married, so I took him to chasson.
Where was it?
The chasna was on the east side in a hall called Little Hungary.
Okay. On Houston Street.
Houston Street, right.
Okay.
In fact, Reb Shimon Hirsch's wife is from Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So Reb Elazar Silva was at the chasna,
uh-huh.
too.
That should be interesting.
Huh?
That made it a little bit interesting.
Okay. I'm just telling you some historical facts, whatever it's worth.
Okay.
Somehow I remember one thing when we left this lawyer's office. It was like at the end of the day, you know, must have been after 6 o'clock, you know, in the office. The building was quiet,
mm-hmm.
and there was like a I don't know if it was a security guard or like a man, like, you know, in the lobby downstairs.
Yeah.
And I remember he turned around to him and said goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow stayed in my mind.
Mm-hmm. You mean in English he said goodnight?
Yeah, he said goodnight. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he didn't speak English, but he spoke a few words here and there, you know what I mean? He got a... I'm not telling you much about him. I mean, I'm not telling you... I'm telling you about myself.
I understand.
I mean, nothing I can really tell you about, like, when I was in yeshiva, like, I feel like...
What impressions did you have over that time? How did he impress you, besides just being very big?
Huh?
Just being very big, and he... Where you could articulate how he impressed you.
I remember a story with an incident with glasses, okay?
What happened?
Well, he would use reading glasses.
Right.
And the yeshiva then, the base medrash was, this is before, while the current, what they now call the old base medrash, was when I came to Lakewood, it was a shell. They had started building at one point, and they ran out of money, and they just stopped building.
Mm-hmm.
And it just stood there, you know what I mean, until after Rav Aaron was nifter.
Mm-hmm.
Any case, the Beis Medrash was in a building on the corner of 7th and Forest.
Right.
I think there's some kind of kollel there now, I think.
Right.
Kollel Chashem Mishpat.
Right.
And that corner, there was an old building, which was where the Yeshiva Beis Medrash was.
Yeah.
And the other building was on the address of 617 6th Street,
mm-hmm.
the original address, that building that had that address,
mm-hmm.
that's where the dining room was and some dormitory rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he had a room, he stayed in that building too.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Was that called the Benheim building?
No. The Benheim building was right next to it.
Uh-huh.
That was a building they bought later on,
uh-huh.
which the Benheim family bought, and eventually they tore down those two buildings and built the dormitory building.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
Any case, he used reading glasses.
Right.
So he had two pairs. Well, he'd keep one, you know, in the Beis Medrash,
mm-hmm.
and one in the in the other building.
Yeah.
Well, I walked to the Beis Medrash building on the Shabbos afternoon once,
mm-hmm.
and then in the summertime, you know, he would say shiur in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and he would come a while before.
He would he wear glasses in general?
He wore reading glasses.
Only for reading.
Only for reading. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I think one of the popular pictures of him, if you look closely, you can see his hand on the table holding a pair of glasses.
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of funny, the story. I mean, if you ever knew the building, you can picture it. I walked in, and there was a room off to the left, which was sort of his office.
Yeah.
And I walked, and I sort of caught a glimpse to my left, this is Shabbos afternoon, of him standing on a chair, looking for something.
Uh-huh.
So I went over and I asked him, like, what's the Rashiva looking for?
Yeah.
So he said he's looking for his glasses. He says he left me after the happening and he can't find them. So he's standing looking at him. Mm. So, you know, I joined the search too, and we didn't find it.
Mm.
So the yeshiva had an old guy. His name was Bernie.
Right.
I don't know if you must have heard of him.
Yeah.
All these
years,
like,
yeah.
And he had his room in the attic on the other building, whatever. So he asked me to go ask Bernie. He says, to go ask Bernie to bring him his other glasses.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's a tzayr charabim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's Amir Lachim his mutter. So I went and I got Bernie and brought him the other glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a little story that I had personally.
Mm-hmm. But what was the general impression that he gave you over these times? I mean, what was the feeling that you had when you were with him?
Well, whether you felt in hope, you know, I mean, he would try, if possible, like to have some shaykhs, if, you know, someone to have shaykhs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way to try to have shaykhs was to try to speak about the shir.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you would try to, like, have some shaykhs, not necessarily a kasha on the shir, but, you know, if you wanted to understand something better on this piece and that piece,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I would, on occasion, I would have, you know, I would go over him and ask him something, you know. And,
yeah.
And, oh, when he saw you being interested in the shir, you saw that his face lit up.
Uh-huh.
Anyone who came over to talk to him who was talking about the shir and showed an interest, you can saw it gave him a nachas ruach.
Uh-huh. Well, that's something.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realize that I can contribute something.
Every little thing contributes.
Yeah, okay.
Did you ever see anything of other behavior patterns that's, like you say, that's something to remember about his demeanor or things that he...
I'll tell you another story, which I don't know if... I think it's so, you have to appreciate it. In fact, I told the story over to the person that it happened with, and he didn't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It was on an Erev of Yom Kippur, I think.
Yeah.
And I was walking down the hallway in the other building, 617 building.
Mm-hmm.
So the dining room was downstairs, and there was actually, I think originally years back, there was a besmerish had been there too.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a room upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was other rooms, you know, but I didn't sleep in that building, but I was walking down the hall past his room. Mm-hmm. And there was someone else walking in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mamish, allow me to shall fire, even if it was the most mundane thing.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely true.
That's what I picked up from just listening to all the stories.
Uh-huh. You heard any similar stories to this, like what I told you? I mean,
it fits similar. A lot of things. He's like somebody. Like somebody told me that they used to go on a date.
Yeah.
He used to give him money.
Uh-huh.
So he said, the one who told me, I think it was Chaskel Lichtman, I remember.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I don't need the money. So he says, but are you sure? He said, no. He said, but that's not a sport.
He said, not on a sport.
Yeah, he's supposed to be home. Like, he's like, you need that money. Don't think you don't need it.
Uh-huh.
You have to be a sport.
I'll tell you a different kind of shit of story.
Yeah.
There was a bacher in yeshiva, I think in Alice Nerch Israel, I mean, who was going on a shidduch, and apparently Rabban had something to do with the shidduch,
mm-hmm.
or was asked about it, or the bacher consulted him. Anyway, the bacher was a short bacher,
mm-hmm.
and it turned out he wasn't interested for whatever reason,
yeah.
but he had to give Rashiva an excuse, mm-hmm. so he told him something which was true also, but I don't know how much that bothered him, that the girl was taller than him. Well, if you, I don't know if you ever saw Rabban and Rabbitson,
mm-hmm.
Rabban was short and Rabbitson was tall.
Right.
So he answered him like, by uns hat mich gewusst von die Sachen.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I must have heard that already.
Uh-huh.
But these are a lot of things like that. But I think about being in awe, it was also very interesting.
Yeah.
That people were always in awe of him.
Yeah.
Even, and it wasn't, they were frightened, there was nothing about him that just emanated awe. That was,
well,
like,
I don't think when you say awe, we mean fright.
Right.
It's like two different
right,
things.
Right, right, right. Could you describe that a little bit, that feeling?
Excuse me. I'm not sure what to say exactly. I mean,
yeah. Like somebody told me.
I mean, or like me, in a sense of, you know, being of respect, you know.
Yeah, right, of course. Like Roman was like, you knew it was there all the time. It's something that never wore off, like it didn't, you always felt it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like people used to say, it was to come into the base medrash, the place would get like electrified.
Uh-huh.
You remember that?
Well, everybody would sort of snap to attention, you know.
Yeah. No, people like, it was a happy thing.
I mean, you know, he would walk in, the entrance to the base medrash was in the back.
Yeah.
You know, like similar to what it is today. So
right.
You would have walk in and walk all the way to the front, so everybody would, you know, stand up, snap
right,
attention,
right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just a routine.
Uh-huh.
It was something that they felt.
Yeah.
That's what I picked up also.
Yeah.
Okay, that's... could you just give me like something what you remain with till this day, or something what you would want to say, this is my experience.
What I remain with till this day,
yeah,
is embarrassment, you know, that...
that what?
that if he were to meet me today, he'd be disappointed with me.
more disappointed with you than anybody else?
No, I mean, like, you know, like yeah, I'm sure he wanted everyone to steigmund, you know, you know, to be more of a ventura, you know. I mean, I'm putting it in simple language, you know, but... there's a chiburi that learns Mishnah Shabbat every Shabbos night in Baruch Pan.
Right.
And it was organized by a fellow who was nifted a few years ago. His name was Chaim Reisman.
Okay.
In any case, he was very close to Rabaran.
Yeah.
He came as a young Bacha, as a Yosem, and Rabaran took personal interest in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he organized the shiur, and he, like, you know, so he used to sometimes, you know, say things. But he was a very close friend to Zalzayin Gazun, to Reb Yitzchak Feigelstock.
Mm.
So I remember one saying that Reb Yitzchak Feigelstock told him, this is after being years of Rosh Hashiva,
mm-hmm,
the older we get, the more we see how far away we were from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's how it is, you know? So that's if you want to say that, what am I left with? I mean, and what else I can say?
I mean, it grows bigger in your mind.
Right.
Is it because you're comparing him, or just that...
Comparing him, I mean, you look back, like, you know, 40 years ago, I had a little shaykhus, I don't know, I was learning in his yeshiva, you know.
So I'm talking about impressions. There's a certain impression that people have. Okay. I'll have to leave it then.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, that's luck. Okay, I hope the project...
I'll tell you what somebody else...